Hello, this is Bob Dobbs, and we're doing another installment of our ongoing dialogue with Derek DeKirchhoff. And Derek wants to begin with a sidebar, a particular issue he has in an upcoming lecture. What is that, Derek?
Well, yeah, I wanted to reverse the relationship this time and ask you questions, being the great McLuhan scholar you are, but not just McLuhan, the whole idea of studying a little bit the difference between the Baroque, which we know is a revolution of the senses, and the neo-Baroque, which is a new one. And so the idea is first to start with what for you meant McLuhan's so-called mosaic approach.
Okay, did you hear it say this is recording? Did you catch that?
Yes.
Yes, it did say it's recording. Just want to check that.
It did.
Yeah, that's good. You want my definition of mosaic?
Well, yours or what you understand McLuhan's definition of mosaic approach is.
Mosaic is juxtaposition, collage, assemblage. You know, you take terms from art theory, overlay. Basically, what Ezra Pound did with Cantos and Joyce did with Ulysses and Finnegan's Wake. Eliot.
And Mallarmé did with the newspaper.
Yes, he was the beginning. On coup de day, he was one of the first to do this collage and drop linear narrative sequence and start to create. Another term is parataxis. You know, they make parallel imagery, parallel sounds to show a nonlinear experience.
Yes, which is actually very related, if not similar, to hypertext.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of readings of McLuhan could actually be done in hypertext. In fact, there are some hypertexts that have been made on McLuhan's work. One of the very good ones is by Mark Federman, who was at the McLuhan program for a long while. And it's a juxtaposition, and that's why aphorism, putting together all the aphorisms of McLuhan makes a lot of sense. I was rereading your wonderful work on the holophonic cabrifinia.
Holeopathic, which is a common...
Holeopathic, yes.
Yeah.
Which is a disease, probably. Holeopath.
Yes.
And I found a bunch of things there, and it's very, you get a lot by simply putting together, echoing from one to the other, the various quotes that you bring on McLuhan, and I think that's very valuable. I've taken a lot of stuff from it, and so brings me... Basically, the talk that I'm supposed to give is at a very sophisticated group in Dieburg, which is near Frankfurt in Germany. People who have a good ear. They are people who like music. Murray Schaeffer is often there, probably will be there next time as well. And they're very sensitive to aesthetic issues and so on. So I thought, since they were asking me about what is happening with the senses in the present media world, I was thinking that I might oppose the Baroque era, which is a first revolution of the senses, to the neo-Baroque era, which is now our present revolution of the senses, and trying to get these two to resonate, because both are transition periods. We're still in a transition period, and of course the Baroque era, which features the senses very highly, is a transition period. And so I thought, what were your thoughts on the issues of Baroque, and if you have given a thought to that, neo-Baroque?
Yes. Okay, I take a different approach. The neo-Baroque begins with Finnegan's Wake, you know, in extremis. And maybe many of the artists of the radical modernist period, and then definitely into the postmodern period of pop art like Rauschenberg and Jasper Johns and those guys, I see the neo-Baroque with what I call analog electric media, you know, peaking in the 70s, say. Maybe photorealism, whatever that was called, when they would take photographs and then start to make a big painting like a big photograph. That might have been the end of the neo-Baroque.
Or collage. Actually, the Dada people and surrealists did that, too. They were doing collage.
Yeah, but do you remember when they started in the 70s making paintings that were exact realistic representations looking like a photograph, but they were not photographs. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm thinking sometime in the 70s, as the digital world's starting to sneak up, we move into the second phase, which I call the Android meme. That's where the media, the extensions of our faculties, which had this neo-Baroque period, at least in the 50s and 60s, now is, well, that's phase one of analog electric media. Now we're moving into
mm-hmm.
phase two, digital media, and that is what is neo-Baroque. In other words, the machines don't extend our senses anymore. The technologies extend each other. If you look at Eric's book, The Electric Language, somewhere in there he talks about we're moving into, and that was put out in the late 90s, we're moving into extensions of the computer parts. The computer was extending parts of the brain, not just the central nervous
mm-hmm.
system. So that's a way of saying something's different about the extensions once we get into the internet. So I say the Android meme starts to extend itself, and that's why the physical body, the chemical body, which was extended for thousands of years in the analog period, ending with the neo-Baroque in the 60s, that the second phase is not extending the physical body. The physical body is sitting on the sidelines. And that's most of the experience of people over the last 30 or 40 years, as they're watching this digital reality, quote, virtual reality, unfold, and they're drawn into it by necessity. They don't understand it. They don't know how it's being made. And it doesn't even seem to be an extension of themselves, unless you say it's an extension of some squared area in the brain, which I think Eric was trying to get at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the neo-Baroque is now done by the Android meme. So I would say the neo-Baroque is I'm not sure how you're doing it, but as you apparently say, if you're relating to the art world, that happened in before the 80s. You have a writer, like I think his name is Mark Hansen, who's trying to figure out how to be a critic of digital media. Are you aware of his work?
No.
Okay, so he's a professor, I think, at Duke, but he's written a couple of books.
Mark Hansen?
Yeah, it may not be
Hanson.
H-A-N-S-E-N, I think it is. I'll check it in a minute. He is trying, you know, the digital art, which you probably experience a lot when you go to these biennales and all that, biennales, those things, they just, a lot of very complicated, interesting, almost Trump-leal installations, right, with virtual computer technology, very careful. He's trying to be an art critic of that. And he's sort of stuck with the problem of this squaring of older media trends by the digital, which is a life of its own. So I just cite him. There may be a few others. He's actually done a book called Critical Terms in New Media, New Digital Media. So if I say there's neo-Baroque happening in the Android meme phase, what era are you referring to? Are you referring to the last 40 years or something in the naughty knots? What is it you're thinking of now? What's the trend when you say neo-Baroque?
Well, actually, I start with the effects, in fact. Going to electricity as ground.
Yeah.
Considering first that electricity and electricity is both inside and outside of the body, I find that the relationship between the extension ideas of the extension of the nervous system, the extension of the senses, the recovery also of the senses today. So what happens in the Baroque era is that the senses are being promoted by the Catholic Church at the Council of Trent. That's how it starts in the Renaissance. The Church realizes that the Reformation is actually threatening to invade the Catholic ground or the original ground. And the Council of Trent decides that finally the Church has to start propagandizing much more than it had done before with even Romanesque and Gothic architecture. They promote very high sensory content in the religious architecture and in the religious rituals. And a great deal of patron of the arts are coming directly from the papacy, the popes of the period, and they are the main patrons. In a place like Rome, where I am now, you can actually see it. I mean, I'm in front of Cardinal Ludovisi's Palais, which is quite spectacular, and sits above the ancient garden of Seleucus. So you can see that it's been the Baroque actually, and Rome is full of Baroque art. The Baroque is at the service, is presumably at the service of the church, but fundamentally it translates the effect of the printing press. After a certain saturation of the social field, the printing press has actually transformed the relationship of the senses of the people, and they become, instead of having a full sensory experiences, as McLuhan often explained, in the oral tradition, suddenly they have an internalized one, controlling the senses, simulating them within, just as Don Quixote is doing in the stories of Cervantes, and so that there is an internalization of the sensorial experience and a reduction of the real sensorial experience during the Renaissance. Instead, in the reversal of the situation by electricity, which is another aspect that McLuhan often describes, what you have is that the senses are externalized by their extensions, again, simulated outside the head, simulated outside the person, and a strange reversal occurs by the fact that while perspective was invented to put the senses of the user under the control of the eye, as a spectator of reality, suddenly the new media force us to become occupants of that reality. We enter into the scene instead of standing in front of it or sitting in front of it, and our relationship to space, our relationship to ourselves, our relationship to others is modified extremely, and we come in a situation which is very paradoxical, which McLuhan again has very often pointed out, that we become nobodies precisely because we are telepresent, you know, without literally disincarnate on the electronic media.
In physical body terms, it's a new physics, but it's in physical body or chemical body terms. That is no body. We've begun to add a new landscape, which later in the digital phase becomes a new barnacle, a new body, because it's smaller than a landscape.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you just said extensions outside of your brain. You're sort of saying what I said, and you're saying that's the telegraph, radio, TV, computer, satellite era.
That's right. There's a huge maturing process from the telegraph all the way to big data, which goes through, you know, digitization, internet itself. Everything that has happened has been under the pressure of maturing very quickly with a bunch of very intelligent people who respond to challenges and difficulties on that development. And so we're still working out the details of how we're going to manage ourselves and society in this context, but it is definitely evident maturing, of which the big data, I think, right now is one of the main features, but we can come back to that later. But the point that I wanted to raise in the Baroque versus Neo-Baroque, Neo-Baroque, by the way, is an accepted term to define the period that we are occupying now, in general. The dates for it, well, they could be the 60s, from the 60s all the way to now, but it redefines itself as more and more artists do stranger and stranger things, such as Stellar, for example, hanging his body 150 meters above the ground level by 64 hooks in his body, in his skin, like directly in his skin, not in some kind of clothing. So that's among the many very grotesque, baroque, fascinating experiments of art that are being done today. So the point that I'm trying to raise here is what would be the characteristic aspects of what's happening today that signify a revolution of the sensory modes. Marshall did speak about electricity as touch, television as a tactile medium. This is not intuitive. I mean, most people would consider television, if only by thinking of the name, being yet another visual medium. But he said, no, it's tactile. And of course, it's tactile largely because of, yes, the interval, yes, the light on versus light through, all the theories we both know, but mainly because electricity itself is a tactile medium. So that's among the sensorial transformations that are occurring today. But then they're paradoxical, and that's what I'm looking at now, that they're very paradoxical. We touch all right, but we touch without feeling. we touch to get information on our iPad, but there's no response to that. The touch has become purely a command, and its tactile dimension has become itself abstracted, as if as all the senses had been abstracted by literacy. We have this kind of new situation. So it's very interesting. We observe things that don't exist. We translate non-visual things into visualization. These are all very paradoxical. It's not just like secondary senses, as you would find in Walter Ong. It's beyond that. And so I'm still sort of, as you can hear, waddling my way
yeah.
into this weird maze and complex thing. But it is a very interesting kind of issue, because I've now read a number of people on neo-Baroque. No one goes to the source. Nobody goes to electricity. Nobody goes to the fact that, you know, we've now, yeah, well, there are some people who are talking, are repeating McLuhan without understanding him, but it's something that has to be done. Yeah, something that has to be done to set the record straight.
Okay, let's attempt that. First of all, back in 67, 68, McLuhan says in an interview, newspaper interview, I recall, I have it somewhere in my archives, he says, we have Twiggy happening, and he names a few other pop culture phenomena. He says, this is just the beginning. We're going to get more and more bizarre forms. I don't know if anybody's ever heard him say that way, but he does say that. There's his prediction of neo-Baroque. Do you know what I mean? Bizarre forms.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I like the...
producing monsters.
Yes. Yeah, now, I have another quote, which will blow your mind, from the New York Times, but before I read this, I like the way Arthur Croker sort of takes the mannerist point of view. And, you know, mannerism, which was in that early Baroque period.
Oh, sure, mannerism precedes Baroque.
Right. So Croker says that we're in a situation of the Trump-Leo. And the paradox you're talking about could be expressed more precisely with Trump-Leo, with all the senses, the eye and the ear. And what was the other word? He didn't think it was a hologramic or... What's that book in 1980 by Michael Talbot, The Hologramic Universe, where people see the macro and the micro. The micro is a hologram of the macro. But the term that Croker uses begins with A, and it escapes me right now. What? Anamorphic. Anamorphic may be a more accurate term than neo-Baroque. Definitely mention anamorphosis. And the Trump Leo, if you're going to include that in the Baroque, you must include what Croker writes, because in his early 90s books, he uses this a lot, and I think Baudrillard uses it. It's a good distinction from the hologramic, the anamorphosis.
Yeah, but sure it is, but anamorphism is one of the features of the Baroque art.
Okay, all right.
The famous Hans Holbein painting, which is the most famous anamorph that people first get to.
Okay.
Have to use a mirror in order to actually see the full picture, which is painted on oil, and you can't distinguish what that picture is until you've played the movement of a mirror to the right angle so that you can actually see the picture as it would come, and it's a person.
Right. Now, these tricks for the eye, if we include them in the ear, and maybe even in movement, and maybe even touch. And touch is not just kinetic pressure, it's the letting go and then retouching. Like the drumming of fingers, rather than when the fingers are touching the table, is the tactile. You know what I mean? The drumming.
Well, the interval.
Yeah, the interval.
The interval.
Okay, so there's a very little known article that Marshall wrote for the New York Times, September 21st, 1974, called A Media Approach to Inflation. And it indicated a new level of the squaring of tactility. So let me read you the section where he goes into this. The preliminary paragraph is, in the new electric environment, almost any situation has a structure eligible for gambling, much as Lloyd's of London was prepared to ensure any part of the body, bust, legs, or even states of mind and popularity, against the whims of chance. Using the language of Gestalt psychology, it could be said that inflation makes everything a figure against the ground of public interest. Figure and ground constitute the structure of most situations and are in perpetual interface of flux. However, in the pulsating world of the intervals and electric information, there are innumerable opportunities to seize and abstract the interval itself. Listen to that. Abstract the interval itself as a new kind of object to be exploited. Then he says in the next paragraph, there are days when large bodies of corporate funds are not in use, and the idea readily occurs, quote, why not make them electrically available for a few hours to some other part of the world, unquote.
I was once with him and his daughter's fiance, whose job was just that. I think it was, the marriage didn't last, I can't remember which of the daughters married a guy whose job was to be a broker for funds that were invested for 24 hours, brought tons of money because they were huge funds, but they had not had time to be invested to actually produce anything.
It wouldn't be Elizabeth who becomes a museum curator. It wouldn't be Stephanie who became a journalist. So maybe Mary McClellan, Terry's twin?
No, Mary didn't. No, Terry didn't marry, and Mary didn't remarry. I think. No, I think it was Stephanie. It was Stephanie, in fact.
Right. She works in Toronto with her husband.
It was Elizabeth.
Oh, okay. Elizabeth,
anyway,
the museum.
Yeah, I think it was. Elizabeth did get married for a while, because I know that Stephanie had another kind of, other kind of stories. But no, I think it was Elizabeth. Anyway, it's not a great. It was one of them. It doesn't matter who it was, because the whole idea was rather that this guy, whoever he was, and I can't remember his name, was a fiancé or a husband, a recent husband, or one of the two, and his job was to invest over a period of time a huge amount of money. And it gave me the intuition of how ridiculous the whole, investing system is, because you would always think that investment actually carried the necessity of putting the money to use in some context and seeing it mature. But in this case, not at all. And so you wouldn't know how in 24 hours anybody could make any money at all, even if it was $1 trillion.
Okay, well, McClellan attempts to explain that. Is this in the 70s in your memory when you heard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the question is...
Yeah, it would be in 72, 73, something like that.
Okay, that's when he's writing this article. Now watch how he explains it. So the question is, why not make the corporate funds available for a few hours to some other part of the world? End of quote, end question. Then McClellan says, it was perhaps the dawning awareness of the utility of the interval. You see, in the television era, it's just the interval. Then when the satellite goes around all the media in the 60s, the interplay between the various electric media is the interval. It's a different interval than just the TV screen. And now Marshall is saying it's come to the point where it was a dawning awareness of the utility of the interval that prompted... It was perhaps the dawning awareness of the utility of the interval that prompted the phrase, quote, time is money, unquote. At electric speeds, however, a very little time can become a very great deal of money. Inflation makes everything a figure for the public, even as the figure obscures the ground. Then he has play in italics. Play is interface between a figure and a ground with a suitable interval between them. Gambling is play that uses, and this is italicized, the interval itself as a thing. Another way of putting it, colon, to gamble is to project the present figure into a future in quotes, which anticipates the possession and control of more or less of the same. Now, isn't that amazing? He's talking about tactility as a thing. That is getting into the Android meme phase, or the digital phase, or the Trump Leal anamorphic. That's so. Here's McClellan talking about tactility as the interval as a thing, and maybe that is even virtual reality. But the what was the other point? He says in Laws of Media, tactile space when pushed to extreme flips into kinetic space, and I see the Reagan era, the United States starts to move past the Cold War and the wall's going to come down, and we're talking right on the 25th anniversary of it coming down this past weekend.
Sure.
It is hyperkineticism is what happens in this era where America thinks they're going to conquer the world with the New World Order, which surprisingly flipped in the late 2008 period into a new space, which may not include the neo-Baroque. That's what's interesting, but we don't have to go that far because this is a topic you want to stay with. So what do you think of that, the interval as a thing, 1974?
No, that's but that would be something resonant with Ma, the Japanese concept of space, which is always an interval relationship that is managed by the actor or by the philosopher, for that matter, or at least the thinker or a wise man.
But this is the abstracting of the interval, as you mentioned 5 minutes ago. You said there's something abstracting of tactility. So then maybe reading the next paragraph will further get the implication of this. He says, equilibrium theory, when applied to money, seeks to relate available goods and services by maintaining a quantity of money suited to the encouragement of exchange. Government spending can intervene toward the achieving of such equilibrium. However, all equilibrium theory, whether supply and demand of goods and services or credit and interest rates, is based on the old quantitative assumptions of, in quotes, hardware, unquote. Equilibrium theory ignores the quantum leap in the economy, which occurs at electric speed of information. Gresham's law had reported a flip in the structure of exchange, which occurred when bad money, in quotes, bad money, entered the market. In brackets, it drove out the ground. In the days of hardware currencies, when a dollar bill carried the phrase, pay to the bearer $1 in gold, unquote, it was a way of dealing in futures, simply to hoard the money itself. That is, the gold would increase in price simply by being held out of circulation. Now that all money is merely the promise to pay promises, it becomes bad money during inflation because all money diminishes in value merely by being held. Money then becomes a means of levying taxation without representation. So then he says, the same... All right. The same interval, in quotes interval, which prompted the holder of gold coins to hoard the good ones, the unalloyed, now prompts the holder of paper money to gamble and to invest in futures, futures in quotes, for the present and future money is a diminishing utility. The old impulse to hoard gold now opens the market in antiques, on the one hand, while gambling in quotes, becomes a way of unloading the new liabilities constituted and incurred by the inflated currency. When money itself becomes an irresistible form of arbitrary taxation, a situation develops which feeds the gambling mania to anticipate events by trading in futures and promises and intervals. Again, it is the speed and replay of information movement which creates a new kind of pattern recognition, which in turn makes it possible to see innumerable software gaps, and you've got software in quotes, in brackets, information gaps, in the old hardware situation of goods and services. To fill in these gaps, speculatively is one aspect for the passion is one aspect of the passion for development, capital D in quotes, real estate development, I guess, an aspect which has become inseparable from the big con, capital C-O-N. So that is pretty, that's predicting the 80s world. It was sneaking up on people in the 70s, but it had to go through a crash in the late 70s and early 80s under Volcker with, you know, interest rates going up to 20% and gold going up to $900. But once it was balanced with, say, derivatives and junk bonds, that's when the exploiting of the interval created the great boom from 83, 84 to 2008. And I see him predicting that here.
Well, you know what? I think what you should do is put a framework of the various connections between money and McLuhan and how McLuhan make an economist out of McLuhan to see where that would lead us. You know what? And you might throw in a few less verbose aspects of reflections of our friend Larry on that. Because Larry also talked about it. He just made it impossible to understand by, you know, drowning it into a particular Take Today. I mean, Take Today would be the book, but it's not because nobody can understand it. I don't know whether you can or whether... I can, but I mean, it's not... I can, because less about McLuhan, most people don't.
No, you got a little blurred there. You got a little blurred. Are you saying that you couldn't understand Take Today?
No, I can, because I know so much about McLuhan and knew so much about Barry. I have got the keys to understand it, but most people don't.
Yeah.
I mean, trying to make... I did. I spent months. I can't say years. I think at the end of 5 or 6 months, I decided to give up. But I was supposed to translate into French. Take Today, and I did. I may have somewhere the rest of that, but my first job was to translate it into English because it made absolutely no sense in many places. It made for arcane experts. You would, you know, it'd be plain language for you, I'm sure, but you are an arcane expert.
Yes.
Lots of people wouldn't get the clue of what you're talking about.
So is Take Your Day a neo-Baroque book?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's not about... Marshall is a neo-Baroque writer. That's the
yes,
clue.
Yeah.
Marshall is a neo-Baroque
and
writer.
Barry wrote...
And of course, so is Finnegan's Wake. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yes. But Barry is more the writer of Take Today. You know, Marshall dictated, Barry take the notes, go home, write it up, and then bring it back, and Marshall would say, yeah, that's okay. You know, and it's...
yeah.
But
throwing his arms up, though.
Yeah, yeah. But the collage of the prose parts with those neat headlines and jokes in mm-hmm. italics and bold
yeah.
type, that's a juxtaposition, isn't it? It's like a different tone.
Yes.
It's like a satire of the prose. So that definitely is a kind
is.
Of neo-Baroque. It's just
yeah.
It doesn't look neo-Baroque because of Barry's McLuhan-esque, obscure McLuhan-esque jargon. You know,
it drove Marshall crazy, you know that.
Yes, I mean, every co-writer drove him crazy. Wilford Watson.
yeah.
I remember.
You're right.
yeah. He didn't
yeah.
even like The Medium as a Massage Book. You know, Quentin Fiore and Jerome Angel.
No.
He says he was once, I think Nelson had a recording. He got a chance. So Marshall's talking to these Banff guys, professors having a conference on McLuhan. And he says, we are studying
yeah.
your book. And he says, what book is that? And they said, The Medium is a Massage. He says, that's not a book. That's just a smattering of quotations. A smattering of quotations. And so they're dumbfounded that they were actually not doing a book as they thought they were doing. And then he didn't like the record. He told me to stay away from William Burroughs. I mean, everybody in the so-called hip scene down there in New York City with Debbie Harry and the rest of the guys around William Burroughs, Marshall would comment on them. I mean, just before he had a stroke, he had the latest Burroughs book on the desk there in the coach house. He would study
yeah.
them, but he was not identifying with them, you know. And his review
yeah.
of Naked Lunch at Nova Express in December 64 in Nation magazine is one of his most awesome writings. He takes 11 points, and he pinpoints Burroughs as a retrieval of Finney's Wake, and then he cites Wyndham Lewis, and he takes a Lewisian view that both Joyce and Burroughs had hit the panic button, the electric button, and didn't have the necessary detachment to act rather than react. Now, that's pretty extreme. Like, Burroughs forced McLuhan to drop his conventional electronic role and to take another level of detachment. I don't know if you're aware of that review, but it's really important.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I'll send that to you. Maybe we could even discuss it because he lays out the conditions
yeah.
of being an Egyptian artist. You program the whole world as your content. That's what the electronic artist does. And Marshall is describing it as an effect of the electric age, not something that Marshall is for. And it explains why he would say, don't hang out with Burroughs and those guys. They're just reacting. They're not acting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a side thing.
Eh?
Yeah, very interesting. So yeah. this article on this, you know, the one Media Post Inflation, it's a tremendous article. Let me just show you a side point at the end. Now, there's an interview that he did at the one last interview, 1979, that I came across. I think he's at a conference in Las Vegas. And he talks about Henry Kissinger, because the oil crisis has become a big figure in 79. And some corporate guy's mm-hmm. asking about that. And McLuhan says, well, that's where you have to deal with Henry Kissinger, one of the most unique men in history. His role is very weird. He didn't say the word weird, but he said his role is very different and new. He says, I call him the kiss of death. So he calls Henry Kissinger the kiss of death. Now, in this article, immediately... Okay, so that he had already written 5 years before in this New York Times article, Henry Kissinger seems to be the current trigger man. Now, trigger man is a term he used in his letter to Ezra Pound in 1951, in June 51, where he
yeah.
talks about, I'm going to distract the trigger men with something on the sidelines. So the trigger men are the Mr. Fix-Its, the CIA, the Tetrad managers. So he says, Henry Kissinger seems to be the current trigger man in this planetary game among the intervals of first, second, third, and fourth worlds. The first world being the industrialized West, the second being Russian socialism, the third, the non-industrialized lands, and the fourth, the electric world, has gone around the rest, becoming the primum mobile, that's in italics, of inflation in all the rest. There it is. He's talking about Kissinger as in the interval between the four worlds.
You have that online, or you have it on
I can send it to you right now.